Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's news collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Henry Walker, and Ellie MacArthur. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. A conservation project in eastern Ontario has earned major recognition. Watersheds Canada, a national nonprofit dedicated to protecting Canada's lakes and rivers, took home the Small Project Conservation Award at this year's Water Canada Awards for a winter restoration project on Big Clear Lake in central Frontenac Township. The community-driven project rebuilt a crucial walleye spawning bed, supporting an important native species and a cornerstone of the local fishery. This project is one of 68 completed across 44 bodies of water in central eastern Ontario since the Fish Habitat Program began 12 years ago. I spoke with Melissa Dakers, Habitat and Stewardship Program Manager with Watersheds Canada, about what this award has meant for her and her team and the work behind the project.
It celebrates not just our staff, but all the volunteers, the partners, and Indigenous leaders that we've worked with who make this work possible. It's a national acknowledgement that community-based conservation really works, and it gives everyone involved a lot of encouragement to keep going.
And the winning project was the winter walleye spawning bed restoration project on Big Clear Lake. I was wondering if you could give us a bit of an overview of what that was all about and why it needed to be done.
Yes. So Big Clear Lake, it has a historic walleye spawning bed that had become degraded over some time. We started this project actually in 2023 with our team and volunteers washing the spawning bed with high pressure water pumps and hoses. We scrubbed the rocks with brushes and removed all the algae and silt from the rock substrate. And then the second part of our project was actually supposed to take place the winter of 2024. But if you remember, last winter, it was extremely mild and the ice safety was actually a major concern for us. So we rescheduled it to 2025 to keep everyone safe. And so last winter in February, our team, along with our partners and local volunteers, we restored the site by laying down 17 tons of washed, clean river rock over the frozen lake, right above the spawning bed. And that rock actually creates the perfect spawning habitat for walleye, which are an important native species and a big part of the local ecosystem and fishery. It was cold, hard work, but the results will help keep this lake healthy for years to come. And this project was actually supported by Environment and Climate Change Canada's Environmental Damages Fund, with permits and approvals from the Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources and Fisheries and Oceans Canada. And it's one of 68 habitat projects that we've completed through our fish habitat program over the last 12 years.
Wow, 68. Geez. And, I mean, we've seen a decline in fish habitat across central and eastern Ontario. How does this project and all those other projects you guys are working on kind of help turn the tides?
Projects like this, they not only bring the community together, but what we're trying to do is make people aware of how helping to restore fish habitat can actually change a fishery on a lake. So by also planting your shorelines and reducing erosion so that there's not as much silt on the spawning beds, we can make a really big impact to our fisheries.
And you kind of got into this, but I was wondering if you could speak a bit more to how local volunteers and community partners were involved in this project.
Yeah, so honestly, this community was incredible, as are all the communities that we work with. But local volunteers, they brought their snow machines, their ATVs, and a ton of energy out onto a frozen lake to help move and spread the rock amidst a snowstorm. We were also closely working with the Big Clear Lake Association. GE Mattson and Sons Construction were there and donated time. And so were the Shabbat Obadjuwon First Nation. And Chief Chief Doreen Davis even joined us that day, and she called it one of the building blocks of your life, which really captured how meaningful it actually was to have us all there. That shared spirit, people coming together to care for the land and the water, that's what makes these projects so powerful.
Mm-hmm. And moving forward, how can folks in the Kingston region get involved with projects like this and support your initiatives?
Yeah, there's lots of ways that people can get involved. People can visit watersheds.ca to learn about upcoming volunteer opportunities, shoreline restoration projects, or ways to donate to future fish habitat work. We are a nonprofit national charity located in Perth, Ontario, and we raise all our funds through donations, foundations, and grants. So personal donations are really greatly appreciated. And then even small actions at home, like keeping your shoreline natural or reducing runoff by planting native plants on a shoreline, can make a really big difference for water quality and for fish habitat. Every bit of local involvement helps protect the lakes and rivers that we all enjoy.
Once again, that was Melissa Dakers with Watersheds Canada. To learn more about their fish habitat programs, volunteer opportunities, and other ways to support future restoration work, you can visit watersheds.ca. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Thank you, Chris. This is your Queen's Campus News on CFRC's Queen's Campus Beat. I'm Henry Walker. Queen's University is speaking out following the circulation of an offensive Instagram video that surfaced earlier this month. The video, reported to contain transphobic, anti-Semitic, and sexually violent language, appears to have been filmed in Kingston's University District. While the individuals speaking in the video are not believed to be affiliated with Queen's University, the university itself has issued a firm condemnation of the content, calling it deeply disturbing. In its statement, Queen's emphasized its commitment to fostering a safe, inclusive, and respectful campus environment. Students are reminded that resources are available through Campus Wellness Services, the Human Rights and Equity Office, and specialized gender diversity support programs. The university is encouraging anyone affected by the incident to reach out for support or to report concerns through established equity and harassment channels. Looking to the future, Queen's is gearing up for one of its biggest annual outreach events. Booth registration is now open for the Science Rendezvous Kingston 2026, which returns on May 9th. This free, family-friendly science festival brings thousands of visitors to downtown Kingston each spring. It features live demonstrations, interactive experiments, robotics, chemistry shows, and exhibits from Queen's researchers, labs, and student teams. Anyone interested in hosting a booth, whether you're part of a faculty or a student group, or a community organization, can now register through the Science Rendezvous website. A virtual information session held earlier this month provided guidance for new exhibitors, and recordings are available for those who missed it. Organizers say they expect this year's event to be one of the largest yet. Additionally, the latest edition of the Queen's Alumni Review has just been released, offering a look at some of the major projects and initiatives underway across campus this fall. One highlight is the continued Agnes Etherington Arts Center renovations, part of the long-term Agnes Reimagined project. While the main building remains closed for construction, the Agnes team is running an active program of off-site exhibitions and community events. These are taking place in the Rideau Building and in several partner locations across Kingston. The university also released its draft bicentennial vision, a planning document looking ahead to Queen's 200th anniversary in 2041. The draft outlines priorities including research leadership, community engagement, sustainability, and long-term financial resilience. Feedback from campus consultants will continue to shape the final version before it goes to the Board of Trustees. And as many may recall, Queen's once again marked the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation earlier this fall by pausing academic activities and hosting events focused on Indigenous histories and healing. Restoration work on some of the university's historic structures, including the iconic castle-style building near Summerhill, was also highlighted in the campus update. Thank you for listening. This has been your Queen's Campus Beat.
This week in YGK Sports, Queens Fencing headed to St. Catharines this weekend for the Brock Fencing Open. The two-day tournament saw Gales Allison Wang and Graham Wood take home bronze in junior women's and junior men's foil, respectively. Other highlights of the tournament for Queens included a fifth-place finish for Tatiana Gajowski in senior women's sabre and a sixth-place finish for Graham Goodwin in senior men's épée. In an interview with CFRC, women's foil captain Sophie Kitson and men's sabre captain Luigi Borgiato celebrated the team's wins, highlighting the number of competitors at the tournament.
This is like the biggest tournament of the season, so it's a lot of people from all different backgrounds. So like you get the OUA circuit and you also get like the people who've been fencing their whole life. So like I think this is by far the most competitive tournament that we have.
Yeah.
So having like a top 16 finish is like really, really big.
They also noted that as many university teams competed, it was a good chance to prepare for the Ontario University Athletics, or OUA, championships in the new year. There, Kitson and Borgiato hope to see the team deliver strong finishes, as they did last season, winning a bronze for the women's team overall and a silver for the men's sabre team.
Yeah, this weekend was super fun. It kind of gives us this tournament, since it's such a big tournament and we fence a lot of the OUA circuit, it gives us a bit of insight into like how OUAs might go this year. And I think it's going to be good. I'm very hopeful for OUAs this year.
In other Queens varsity news, men's rugby took home fifth place at the Canadian University Men's Rugby Championship on Sunday. The team fell to the Victoria Vikes in their first match of the competition, but went on to secure victories in a consolation semifinal against Dalhousie University and a consolation final against Université de Montréal. The Guelph Griffins took home gold at the championship. It was a disappointing weekend for St. Lawrence College volleyball, as both men's and women's teams faced losses against the Algonquin College Wolves on Saturday. The women's team fell to the Wolves in a close 5-set match, while the men's team lost in 3 straight sets. This weekend also saw back-to-back wins for the Kingston Frontenacs on home ice. The team beat the Niagara Ice Dogs 4-3 on Friday in overtime, and the Sarnia Sting 5-2 on Sunday. Next up, the Fronts will face the Ottawa 67s on Wednesday at Slush Puppy Place in Kingston. This was CFRC's YGK Sports Minute. See you next week.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Monday, November 24th, daytime high of 6 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud, dropping down to 4 overnight. Tuesday, November 25th, rainy day here in the city of Kingston, daytime high of 8 degrees with about a 70% chance of precipitation, dropping down to 6 overnight. Wednesday, November 26th, warmest day of the week, 10 degrees in the forecast with an 85% chance of precipitation. That rain is going to cool things off quite a bit, however, as we will drop down to 0 overnight. Thursday, November 27th, 4 degrees is your high, but it's going to feel much colder, actually feeling closer to minus 4. 65% chance of precipitation, which means we are going to see periods of light snow throughout the day, dropping down to minus 2 overnight, which is going to feel closer to minus 6. Friday, November 28th, 1 is your daytime high with a little bit of sunshine in the forecast, but it's going to be very chilly, feeling closer to minus 7, so bundle up when you're out and about. Saturday, November 29th, high of 0, and it's not going to be as bone-chillingly cold, just a low of minus 2 that will feel like minus 2. Sunday, November 30th, daytime high of 3 degrees, mix of rain and snow in the forecast, dropping down to just below freezing overnight. And then the start of December, Monday, December 1st, daytime high of 5 degrees with a 63% chance of precipitation. This is Jesse Bell with your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. We begin with road closures. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess to Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Berry Street, King to Stewart is closed November 25th to 26th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. each day for the removal of a large tree. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne, closed for construction at 283 Queen Street. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Raglan Road, Division 2 Main, closed until November 30th from 7:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. each day for gas main installation. Toronto Street, Durham to Park, is closed until November 28th for installation of new water, sanitary, and storm services. And Victoria Street, Union 2 Johnson, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Bay Ridge Drive, Milford to Henderson, expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure. Catwoods Drive, Centennial to Gardner's, expect delays for the construction of a new multi-use pathway. Front Road, San Beta Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Montreal Street at John Counter, expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage. Trudell Road, development to Danbury, expect delays while a contractor completes road and sidewalk improvements. And Victoria Street and Earl Street, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes the site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road.
Hey, this is Ellie MacArthur, an intern from the Queen's Department of History, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. It's time for our concerts calendar for the week of November 24th to the 30th. Kingston has a stacked week of live music, from cozy vibes to big stages, so let's dive right in. On Monday, start your week with a rock lineup at the Mansion featuring Distant, Demon Eyes, False Gods, and Ascension Blacklist. Doors are at 7 p.m. Or if you'd prefer something a little bit lighter, Jonathan Jones brings an acoustic set to the Cove Inn at 5 p.m. Also on Monday, a perfect first date spot is live jazz at Musiki starting at 8 p.m. Moving into Tuesday, it's Tom's Tuesday Afternoon Happy Hour Jam at the RCHA from 4 to 7 p.m. At 7 p.m., the Kingston Youth Orchestra, Youth Strings, and A Strings presents The Art of Melody. This is an incredible chance to hear some of Kingston's young talent on stage. At 7:30 p.m., catch the Soweto Gospel Choir at the Kingston Grand Theater for some lovely jaw-dropping harmonies. And at Time Out Bar, Paula Wood and Friends performs at 6 p.m., and Carrick McAllister hosts Open Mic at Jersey Sports Bar starting at 7 p.m. So if you've been working on something, Tuesday's the time to show it off. On Wednesday at 5:30 p.m., catch Tyler Brett Forks performing at the Bank Gastro Bar. And across the pond, or across the lake, I should say, Hotel Wolf Island starts the evening with DJ Great White from 4 to 7 p.m., followed by their open mic at 7:30 p.m. Also on Wednesday, Wings and Tunes open mic kicks off at the Cove Inn at 5 p.m., and some Kingston favorites, Christopher Jackson at the Creekside Bar and Johnny Kerwin at Time Out Bar, both starting at 6 p.m. On Thursday the 27th, we've got some high energy at the Broom Factory with No Bro and Societal Siege at 7:30 p.m. Meanwhile, at the RCHA, catch Beats Workin' at 7 p.m. and Original Thursdays with Evan Carlson, Ron Steves at the Coven starting at 5 p.m. Emily Trigg is a folk roots musician, and her new album, The Great Escape, just dropped. She is playing at Hotel Wolf Island with John Bora starting at 8:30 p.m. And Time Out Bar has a double bill on Thursday with John McClurg at 4 p.m., followed by Ted Landlone at 7 p.m. Heading into the weekend, on Friday, we've got something for every person and every genre. Starting at the Broom Factory, Charlie Houston's Big After I Die tour is with Last Call and LHRK at 7 p.m. At the RCHA, Kent Nicholson kicks off TGIF Happy Hour at 4 p.m., followed by $5 dates at 8 p.m. Also on Friday, Ontario Festival of Small Halls brings us Ben Kaplan at the Cove Inn starting at 6 p.m. And also at 6 p.m., Scott Owen performs at the Creekside Bar. Another triple bill at The Mansion on Friday with Matt Campbell, Otis Strange, and Lustre at 8 p.m. And also at The Mansion on Friday in The Wine Cellar, catch House in the Mansion Volume 3 starting at 9 p.m. And to round out Friday with some sweet acoustics, we've got Spencer Evans at Time Out Bar starting at 7 p.m., Bon Evans at Tiernan Og at 9 p.m. And if you're after a pre-dinner treat, Chris Morris at the Toucan starts at 5 p.m. Starting off strong on Saturday, November 29th, with Stephen Stanley, No Electric, and Tanya Joy at the Broom Factory starting at 7:30 p.m. This night is all about storytelling with Stanley's nostalgia and thoughtful rock, as well as Joy's soulful folk. Also on Saturday is GovFest featuring Dewey Roadkill, Retirement Plan, Doing Okay, Veritones, Sweet Pea in the Heat, and Lowry at the Buckle from 6 p.m. to midnight. This is a charity event, and the money raised through GovFest Kingston is specifically used to fund the local KFLNA United Way, which supports local community projects and provides support systems for vulnerable community members. In addition, 50% of the proceeds from GovFest are used to fund Ryan's Well Foundation, which works to provide consistent access to safe drinking water in developing regions worldwide. Tickets are $20 advance and $25 at the door. There will also be a silent auction, door prizes, and a raffle from local businesses. So swing by the Buckle from 6 p.m. to midnight on Saturday and support some good music for a good cause. Also on Saturday, the Isabel Voices present a festive celebration at the Isabel Bader Center starting at 2:30 p.m. On Sunday, it's Sunday Fun Day Chicken Pickin' at the Cove Inn from 1 to 4 p.m. And the Queen's Dance Club has their mid-year recital at Kingston Grand Theater starting at 6 p.m. Thanks so much for joining me. If you have a concert that you'd like to add to our online and on-air calendar, reach out at cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link in our bio. Hey, you're listening to CFRC 101.9. My name is Ellie MacArthur, an intern from the Queen's Department of History, and it is time for the events calendar for the week of November 24th to the 30th. As the winter creeps in, there's lots of trivia, community events, performances, and holiday programming, so let's jump right in. Monday is trivia night at Brass Pub starting at 7:45 p.m. and also trivia at Something in the Water Brewing starting at 8 p.m. So grab a friend, grab a drink, and test your knowledge going into this week. On Tuesday, we've got a full day of events. The Kingston Public Market runs in Springer Market Square from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. This also runs on Thursday and Saturday. The market has local produce, sweets, and art, so swing on by. Also on Tuesday, 6 to 8 p.m., join the Community Song Circle at the Kingston Community House. This is open to all voices. And if you're feeling creative, check out Making Art Work, newsletters for creatives with Lucy Liu, hosted online through Union Gallery from 6 to 7:30 p.m. It's Euchre Night at Daft Brewing on Tuesday, starting at 7 p.m., and also at 7 p.m. is Jack's Tuesday Night Trivia. Finally on Tuesday, at the Cove Inn, we have Dramatically Different Drams, a contemplative scotch tasting with Trevor Hayes starting at 6 p.m. So if you're looking for a sophisticated, cozy night, this is the place. On Wednesday, catch the book launch and discussion for Social Innovation for Real World Transformation with Chris Mackey, Julie Paquette, and Jonathan Durand Fulco at the Broom Factory starting at 7 p.m. There's also trivia at Daft Brewing starting at 7 p.m. And as always, warm up those vocal cords on Wednesday. We've got karaoke at Jersey Sports Bar starting at 7 p.m., karaoke at Time Out Bar starting at 8 p.m., and the classic karaoke at the Mansion starting at 9 p.m. On Thursday at 6:30 p.m., The Spire hosts Inspired Aging, a Talks with Docs event, which is a thoughtful and informative series about staying healthy and growing older. And for theater lovers, Guys and Dolls hits the stage at La Sesame Theater at 7:30 p.m. If you just didn't get enough of karaoke on Wednesday, don't fret, there's karaoke at Tiernan Og starting at 9 p.m. And if you're trying to work out those brain muscles before the weekend, catch trivia at Riverhead starting at 7 p.m. or trivia at Queen's Pub starting at 9 p.m. Some interesting events moving into Friday. At 5:30, Sutherland Hall hosts the Black Innovation and Tech Futures Forum, a discussion and networking opportunity at the intersection of technology and equity. And if you're seeking some holiday vibes, we have the Baroque Christmas Treats at St. James Anglican Church from 5:15 to 7 p.m. with traditional music in a beautiful setting. And theater fans can once again catch Guys and Dolls at La Sesame Theater at 7:30 p.m. Also on Friday, Reuben in the Dark performs at the Royal Canadian Legion Branch 160 at 7:30 p.m. And finally on Friday, at Wolf Island, the Wolf Island Records Musical Review is at Hotel Wolf Island at 8 p.m. with a showcase of labeled talent. Guys and Dolls continues on Saturday with a 2 p.m. matinee and a 7:30 evening show. At 7:30 p.m., Kingston Grand Theatre presents Barca, a Girovara production, which is an innovative and artistic stage performance. And if you want to participate rather than watch, karaoke at Time Out Bar kicks off at 9 p.m. On Sunday, it is the last chance to catch Guys and Dolls musical at La Sesame Theatre at 2 p.m. There's the Xmas Family Sing-Along at the Spire at 2:30 p.m. This is an all-ages event, so bring your kids and get into the holiday spirit. And finally, as always, wrapping up the week with karaoke at the Toucan, starting at 10:30 p.m. Thank you so much for joining me this week. If you have an event that you'd like to add to our online or on-air event calendar, you can reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.